We are in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, finishing it up, and then going on into chapter 5 today. And we're talking about, and have been talking about, our great high priest. And we have learned that he is a priest who knows us, and a priest who is sympathetic to us and who has felt all that we will ever feel and so much more. That he is the high priest, perfect in his priesthood, perfect in person, and then today we want to look at perfect in provision. But let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we come to this moment when we open your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit will apply its truth. Give us clarity and understanding, and use it, Father, to teach us even more how we need to rely upon you and upon your Son for every day, for every challenge, for every suffering, for every trial, for every test. For he knows it all. He's been there before us. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you that his priesthood is perfect and his person is perfect and his sacrifice complete and the provision fits the need. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, probably of all the words in the Bible, the words of the last verse of chapter 4 is one that we draw ourselves to again and again, because when we struggle, when we face issues in our lives that we don't know what to do with, that hurt us, or that have hurt us in the past and we're trying to figure out how to relate to them, or how we should live in this world with all that's going on and what is being pushed at us every day, it is so wonderful to know that the provision is there where we can come to the throne of God, where we can present ourselves before him with confidence, knowing he's there, knowing he cares, knowing he has been in this place before us, and we can begin to lean on him and find the kind of grace we need to get through these instances in our lives. And also to know that he helps. I don't think there's any more clear demonstration of this than when we finally come to the end of ourselves, and we usually have to get there first. But we come to the end of ourselves, and then we finally find ourselves before God, and we're opening up our hearts and our lives and pouring out that hurt and that stress and that test and that temptation before him, and then feel the peace of God that flows in and puts our soul at rest, so that we can walk away from that moment with God at peace, and the test is no longer pressuring or hurting us. The pain is dulled, and victory becomes ours. Simple little verse, but oh, so important that we understand it and know it. The writer put this verse in here because he wanted the Jewish believers of his day, those to whom he was writing, he wanted them to know that God is interested in the details of their lives. That he's not a God off in heaven somewhere, distant, or cannot be concerned about our cares or our needs or our struggles, but that he's involved with us, that he's a part of everything that's happening every day, and that he's right there with us in the middle of it. And he wanted the writers to know that. So he's encouraged them and said, look, get up, get moving, get off, get on your feet, and move into the presence of God. Don't just sit there wondering if he really is the Savior. Don't sit there just wondering if he really is the Redeemer. Don't sit there wondering if God is powerful enough to deal with your issue. But get into his presence. Get your eyes on him. And speak to him about your pain and your struggles and your tests. And let him give you the peace that passes all understanding. People will look at you and say, what's with you? You're going through all this terrible stuff and you seem to be at peace. There seems to be a joy. There seems to be a settledness. They don't understand it. It's because it is the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's beyond our ability to understand, but it's real. And it's vital for each one of us. And that's where God wants us to be. That's where he wants us to walk. Let us therefore. Now, you don't get a therefore until you look at what it's there for. You've heard that many times over. Therefore always throws you back on what's already been said. All right? And what's been said is, he knows. Last week, we mentioned the fact that whatever it is you're going through, whatever the test, whatever the struggle, whatever the stress, whatever the pain, whatever it is that you're going through, he has been there before you and he has experienced more of that pain and that test and that temptation than you ever can as a human being. Because he was not only human, but because he was God. Now it's important that we understand that. So therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I can't say enough about the need for mercy. We all need it. Each day that we live, we need mercy. In anything we're involved in, we need mercy. Whatever our lives are filled up with every day, in that moment, in those days, we need mercy. It is so important that we have it. And then we find the grace that is there for us in the time that we need it. Now I want to read Hebrews 5, 1 to 10 as well, because they follow up on this as they speak about the high priest, the one to whom we come. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now we talked, as I said, about the perfect priesthood of Christ. We've talked about the perfect person. His priesthood began when he finished his sacrifice, rose from the grave, ascended to the Father in heaven, and presented himself as the complete and perfect sacrifice. And he was accepted. And upon his being accepted, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And from that moment on, there will never need be another sacrifice. There will never need be another Savior. And there will never need be another high priest, because he is the final, complete, and perfect high priest. And then last week we learned about his person. The fact that because he was God and he was man, completely God. I said last week that it's not a 50-50 deal. He wasn't 50% God and 50% man. He was 100% man and he was 100% God. And because he was, he did not have the limitations that you and I have when it comes to pain or stress or temptation. I mentioned that at the levels of temptation, there are levels of temptation, we have limits. We get to that point, we will fall, always. Never go to the end of that temptation. Never will. Never will. He did. And when we're tested with pain, and we even gave you a story about a gentleman that was thrown out of a car at high speed, sliding along on the pavement he was, with great pain on his back as he was sliding. And he said, as I was sliding, the pain was there, was unbearable, and then all of a sudden I didn't feel any pain at all. Why? Because built into these bodies that we have is a mechanism that when the pain gets to a certain point, the body shuts down and you don't feel the pain anymore. We use the term shock when it gets to that point, but it's the body reacting to the pain. The Lord God did not in Jesus Christ have that limitation. His pain was to the ultimate end. He didn't have the shutdown because he was not only man completely, but God also. So he felt that pain to its deepest extreme, as he did every temptation and every test. So when we go to him, we know he's been there before us and much further than we will ever go. And he has experienced that. But in all this process, what did he provide? Well, he provided a place for you and I to come. You remember on the cross, when he died, the curtain in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and the Holy of Holies was exposed to all who would come into her. Because of Jesus Christ, the Holy of Holies, the presence of Almighty God, was opened up to us so that we could come there with our needs, with our complaints, with our crying, with our praising, with all of whatever it is we had right now, the confidence and the boldness to come into his presence because of Jesus, and let ourselves be known by him to the deepest degree. That's the provision. It was provided for us perfectly. It was a perfect solution because we need his presence. We need his power. We need his grace. But I want you to look at that again, this very phrase. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, what is it that's there? Well, it's the throne of God. It's the throne of justice. It's a throne of judgment. It is a throne of all these things, but Jesus changed it into a throne of grace, where grace is provided, where mercy is given out, and where even the sin has been taken away and justification has been given. It's a throne of grace now. A throne of grace. You see, 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read this verse, we think we know what it means, but in reality, until we experience it and then experience the Lord in the middle of it, we don't really know what it means. But listen to the words. There hath no temptation taken you, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I love that verse, because what it tells me is that whatever it is I'm going through, some of you are going through it too, because it's common to man. It's something that we all will go through or experience at one time in our life, maybe at different times, at times when we least expect it, but the fact is it's shared among us as human beings. This temptation, whatever it is, this test, whatever it is, this pain, whatever it is shared among men. It is common to man. Now, as this comes upon us as believers, as Christians, the promise is God is faithful. Beautiful song. Faithful God. God is faithful. Well, what does that mean? Well, for me, it means relief. It means freedom. It means peace. It means the lack of pain. It means the recognition that God is in the midst of it and I'm in His arms and He's got me. And I can count on it. I can believe it, I can act as if it's so, I can move as if it's so, and it is so. But note something else it says here. He's not going to let you be tempted to that extreme that he was. Instead, he's going to make a way of escape. Well, for many years, I studied this verse, and I studied this verse, and I kept saying, the way of escape. What's the way of escape here? There's got to be a way of escape. And every time I get into a situation, I say, Lord, you said there's a way of escape. Where's the way of escape? And I'm looking around for the way of escape. What door is going to open? What window is going to be thrown open? What situation is going to be change. I'm looking for the event. What's going to happen? There's going to be a way of escape. And then I remembered something. One day I just remembered it. Did I remember it? Yes, because God put it in there. And he said, Ken, I am the way. Oh, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, what it means is God was faithful and he provided a way. And the way is Jesus. And because Jesus is the way, all I need to do is by faith crawl up into his arms, let him hold me and comfort me and encourage me through those issues of life. And quit fighting the issues. Quit trying to figure out my own way out. But resting in him completely. If you have nothing else you get out of this morning, keep this vision in your brain. This vision, here is Jesus, God Almighty, and he has his arms out, and you're there. You're there right in the middle of his arms, and he is embracing you and saying, walk with me. I've been here before. Walk with me. I know what it takes to get through here, and I have it. So rely upon me. Walk with me. But you see, we're told to come to the throne of grace, receiving that grace, looking into Jesus' face, knowing he's the way, and then we will find help. in the time of need, we will find help. And the interesting thing about this, it says, come with confidence. You don't do anything with confidence unless you believe in it. You really don't. When someone asks you to do something and you say, well, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm him and haw about the whole situation, that means I don't really believe in the situation, or I don't believe that this is going to be a good thing. I have some doubts along the way. And God is saying, hey, throw the doubts away. Trust me. I've got you. You're mine. I have you in my arms. I'll never let you go. You're my sheep. And I'm the great shepherd. And then Psalms 23 comes to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's met the need. He has met that need for each and every one of us. And we're told to come with confidence. Come with confidence and boldness. The men's prayer breakfast, I brought a little devotion. And the focus of the devotion was this. Quit complaining to people around you. Quit complaining that this isn't right or that isn't right or the other thing isn't right or somebody's not doing just what you think they should or whatever. Quit complaining. You've got a complaint, take it to the right place. Take it to God. Talk to Him. Complain to Him. But in the process, He will then begin to temper your thoughts and your heart and bring you to that place where you can love each other in a way that as long as you're complaining about each other, you never will. We sing that song, Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Do we really? Are we really each day as we walk with Him? We have to come to the throne of grace with boldness. Now, I like that word boldness because boldness doesn't just mean I go in there brashly before God. That's not what I mean. What it means is I have every confidence that that's the place I'm supposed to be. And so I come in there knowing that God has asked me to come, He made a way for me to come, and He's there to hear me. And He's there to listen to what I have to say, and He's there to talk to me and tell me what He has to say about my situation and where I am and who I am. So it's a matter of recognizing where I'm supposed to be and then getting where I'm supposed to be. And that's in the presence of God, the throne of grace. Throne of grace because grace is issued and mercy is given and help is there. That's the promise of this one single verse based on everything that's already been said about Him as high priest. Now my question is this. If I were to ask you this morning, all of you are sitting here, how many of you are Christians? How many of you believe you are Christians? You'd probably, most of you, raise your hand. Say, oh yeah, I've been a Christian since I was 6. And that's been a lot of years. Right? Or I've been a Christian since I was 10. Or I've been a Christian since I was 20. Or whatever the number. Yeah, I'm a Christian, okay. Second question, where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your time? Well, as I read the Bible, it says one of the things I should be spending my time with all day long, everywhere, no matter where I am, is pray without ceasing. While I'm talking, who am I talking to? God. Where am I doing that? The throne of grace. And I'm doing it in every circumstance, in every situation. Because He wants me to look at Him through His own eyes. And to look at my circumstances through His eyes. I don't look at it from mine. Mine is a disaster. But if I look at it through His, there is their power and the way to get through. This morning, I was just trying to reach a couple people down here to say hello to, and I was kind of going up and through the pews, and I felt like I was in a maze. Well, sometimes life is like that. We find ourselves in what seems to be some kind of a maze, and we're trying to get somewhere with a goal where that's where we're headed, but we just can't seem to get through the maze. But I found that Jesus knows the way through, and that he'll take me by my hand, and he will walk me through the maze, all the while talking about the joy and the peace and the comfort and the power of his very presence with me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And when needs come along, he moves hearts and lives to meet those needs. Tests come along, he brings someone who is strong to hold your hand through the test. When pain is there, he brings someone along who's the great physician and touches the pain. And there's one person only that I know that can ever heal the past. You can't change it. And most of the time when you go back and try to change it, you get into more trouble than if you didn't try to change it, because it brings up all the old hurts and all the old feelings and all the rest of it. What you need to do is let him heal it. You see, because he sees the past, future, the whole thing, all right now. It's now to him. And he can heal it right there, whatever you need. But you have to come to the throne, the grace, for the grace and the mercy. And the end result is peace and a healing. And then as you need the help, it's available. Communicating with God. Now, I have to say this because it's important. It's a two-way street. You don't just talk to him. You got to let him talk to you. You got to spend enough time there to listen for his voice. That's true in decisions you make. That's true in situations you find yourself. God, and you know the one thing that always frustrates me about God? You didn't know there could be, huh? He's not fast enough for me. I want it done now, this moment, this second. And God's timing is everything. And I've never found him to be in a hurry. Why? He's got all of eternity. Why should he worry? See? He knows. He knows when it's needed. He knows when he'll give it. He knows how it all works. And you and I are just learning. We're just learning. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do come to your throne. Teach us how to come. Teach us when to come. Teach us what to say. Teach us how to listen. Because, Father, all these things are how you work your most wonderful miracles in our lives every day. We ask that we might experience that. But in the experience of it, let us know it. Let us understand it. Let us see it. Father, we just praise you and thank you because you made the way. And then you opened the gate and said, come on in. And we're your children, and we thank you for that and for the love and for the healing, for the mercy, for the grace when we need it. And Father, we need it every day. So we thank you for that. Now be with us as we go to the Lord's table. May truly we understand that all of this is based on the fact that our great high priest has also been the great sacrifice, and that was for us and out of love that he made it. We pray this in Jesus' name.